Teddy went up to 103rd and Broadway. Nobody in Harrow's, nobody in the Automat. Yeah, he snarled, all the pushers off on the nod someplace. What they care about anybody else? So long as they get it in the vein. What they care about a sick junkie? Wiped his nose with one finger, looking around furtively. There was no one he knew in the 23rd Street Thompson's. Jeez, he thought, where is everybody? He clutched his coat collar together with one hand, looking up and down the street. There's Joey from Brooklyn. I'd know that hat anywhere. Joey, hey, Joey. Joey was walking away with his back to Danny. He turned around. His face was sunken, skull-like. The gray eyes glittered under a greasy gray felt hat. Joey was sniffing at regular intervals. His eyes were watering. No use asking him, Danny thought. They looked at each other with the hatred of disappointment. Guess you heard about George the Greek, Danny said. Yeah, I heard. He'd been up to 103rd. Yeah, just came from there. Nobody around. Nobody around any place, Joey said. I can't even score for goop balls. Well, Merry Christmas, Joey. See ya. Yeah, see ya. Danny was walking fast. He had remembered a croaker on 18th Street. Of course, the croaker had told him not to come back. Still, it was worth trying. Brownstone house with a card in the window. P.H. Zuniga, M.D. Danny rang the bell. He heard slow steps. The door opened and the doctor looked at Danny with bloodshot brown eyes. He said nothing. He just leaned there looking at Danny. Goddamn alcoholic, Danny thought. He smiled. Merry Christmas, doctor. The doctor did not reply. You remember me, doctor. Danny tried to edge past the doctor into the house. I'm sorry to trouble you on Christmas Day, but I've suffered another attack.
Attack?
Yes, facial neuralgia. Danny twisted one side of his face into a horrible grimace. The doctor recoiled slightly and Danny pushed into the dark hallway. Better shut the door, you'll be catching cold, he said jovially, shoving the door shut. The doctor looked at him, his face focusing visibly. I can't give you a prescription, he said. But doctor, this is a legitimate condition, an emergency, you understand. No prescription impossible, it's against the law. You took an oath, doctor, I'm in agony. Daddy's voice shot up to a hysterical grating whine. Dr. Winston passed a hand over his forehead. Let me think. I can give you one quarter grain tablet. That's all I have in the house. But doctor, a quarter G. The doctor stopped him. If your condition is legitimate, you will not need more. If it isn't, I don't want anything to do with you. Wait right here. The doctor weaved down the hall, leaving a wake of alcoholic breath. He came back and dropped a tablet into Danny's hand. Danny wrapped the tablet in a piece of paper and tucked it away. There is no charge. The doctor put his hand on the doorknob. And now, my dear, but doctor, can't you inject the medication? No, you will obtain longer relief than using orally. Please not to return. The doctor opened the door. Well, this will take the edge off, and I still have money to put down on a room. Thought. Danny put down $2 on a $6 a week room in the West 40s, where he knew the landlord. He bolted the door and put his spoon, needle, and dropper on a table by the bed. He dropped the tablet in the spoon and covered it with a dropper full of water. He held a match under the spoon until the tablet dissolved. He tore a strip of paper, wet it, and wrapped it around the end of the dropper, fitting the needle over the wet paper to make an airtight connection. He dropped the piece of lint from his pocket into the spoon and sucked the liquid into the dropper through the needle, holding the needle in the lint to take up the last drop. Danny's hands trembled with excitement and his breath was quick. With a shot in front of him, his defenses gave way and junk sickness flooded his body. His legs began to twitch and ache. Cramps stirred in his stomach. Tears ran down his face from his smarting, burning eyes. He wrapped a handkerchief around his right arm, holding the end in his teeth. He tucked the handkerchief in and began rubbing his arm to bring out a vein. Guess I can hit that one, he thought, running one finger along a vein. Picked up the dropper in his left hand. Danny heard a groan from the next drum. He frowned with annoyance. Another groan. He could not help listening. He walked across the room, the dropper in his hand, and inclined his ear to the wall. The groans were coming at regular intervals, a horrible, inhuman sound pushed out from the stomach. Danny listened for a full minute. He returned to the bed and sat down. Why don't someone call a doctor, he thought indignantly. It's a bring down. He straightened his arm and poised the needle. He tilted his head, listening again. Oh, for Christ's sake. He tore off the handkerchief and placed the dropper in a water glass, which he hid behind the wastebasket. He stepped into the hall and knocked on the door of the next room. There was no answer. The groans continued. Danny tried the door. It was open. The shade was up and the room was full of light. He'd expected an old person somehow, but the man on the bed was very young, 18 or 20, fully clothed and doubled up with his hands clasped across his stomach. What's wrong, kid? Danny asked. The boy looked at him, his eyes blank with pain. Finally, he got out one word. Kidneys. Kidney stones, Danny smiled. I don't mean it's funny, kid. It's just... I've faked it so many times, never saw the real thing before. I'll call an ambulance. The boy bit his lip. Won't come. Doctors won't come. The boy hid his face in the pillow. Danny nodded. They figure it's just another junkie throwing a winding for a shot. But your case is legit. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained things, no, I guess that wouldn't be so good. Danny trailed off. Suddenly he put out his thin, dirty hand and touched the boy's shoulder. I'm sorry, kid. You wait. I'll fix you up. He went back to his room and got the dropper and returned to the boy's room. Roll up your sleeve, kid. The boy fumbled his coat sleeve with a weak hand. That's okay. I'll get it. Danny undid the shirt button at the wrist and pushed the shirt and coat up, barring a thin brown forearm. Danny hesitated, looking at the dropper. Sweat ran down his nose. The boy was looking up at him. Danny shoved the needle in the boy's forearm and watched the liquid drain into the flesh. He straightened up. The boy's face began to relax. He sat up and smiled. Say, that stuff really works, he said. You a doctor, mister? No, kid. The boy lay down, stretching. I feel real sleepy. Didn't sleep all last night. His eyes were closing. Danny walked across the room and pulled the shade down. He went back to his room and closed the door without locking it. He sat on the bed, looking at the empty dropper. It was getting dark outside. Danny's body ached for junk, but it was a dull ache now, dull and hopeless. Suddenly a warm flood pulsed through his veins and broke in his head like a thousand golden speedballs. For Christ's sake, Danny thought, I must have scored for the immaculate fix. The vegetable serenity of junk settled in his tissues. His face went slack and peaceful, and his head fell forward. Danny the car wiper was on the nod.
this thing on. Can you hear me now?
Wat 2025 gaat brengen, dat weten we nog niet. Hopelijk biedt de muziek een weg uit de dolgedraaide gekte die ons blijkbaar te wachten staat. Vandaag blikken we nog één keer terug op vorig jaar. Er waren veel te veel goede platen om die in één uitzending te proppen. Vandaar dus vandaag deel 2 van ons jaaroverzicht. In elkaar geknutseld, volledig onafhankelijk, zonder inmenging van een of andere rijke megalomane boemoejal. Goedenavond en welkom bij Signaal Ruis. We starten dat tweede deel met het einde van een tijdperk voor de Britse kosmische rockers Beak. Na 16 jaar dienst heeft de band het afscheid aangekondigd van meester-trommelaar Jeff Barrow. Dat dit een gemis zal zijn voor de band, dat spreekt voor zich. Maar ze mogen ons uiteraard verrassen. Dit jaar bracht de band hun vierde album uit. En daarop staat dit heerlijk voortenderende Secrets.
laatste, met Jeff Barrow, de vierde plaat van Beak. Dit was Secrets. Ook van Shellac moeten we helaas afscheid nemen. Zanger-gitarist Steve Albini overleed vorig jaar en hun laatste plaat, To All Trains, verscheen postuum. Daarop linken ze afgemeten, strak en hoekig, zoals altijd. WSOD van Shellac.
Thank you.
veel bands zijn schatplichtig aan shellac. En dit nummer van dit nummer Anything But Sopo van Moin duidelijk ook wel. De rest van You Never End, de derde plaat van het trio, klinkt weer heel experimenteel, waarbij ze werden bijgestaan door heel wat guest vocals uit alle hoeken van de artistieke wereld. Schatplichtig aan Sonic Youth is dan weer het New Yorkse voyeur. Met twee EP's zetten ze zich het afgelopen jaar op de kaart. Het is nu uitkijken naar een volwaardige plaat. Something Becomes You, de EP van het najaar, kon ons het meest bekoren. Hier is Spirit van Voyeur. Thank you.
This is the body room. I see the lights surround you like a jar. Let us leave them all. I imagine salty water.
Schatplichtig aan Shellac en Sonic Youth hebben we al gehad. Nu zitten we nu aan het hoofdstuk schatplichtig aan Talking Heads. Font drijft net als het grote voorbeeld op manische zang en complexe ritmes en daarvoor schakelen ze twee drummers in. Uit hun mini-debuut Strange Burden draaiden we The Golden Calf. Dat de Nederlandse indie scene hoogdagen beleeft, moeten we onze aandachtige luisteraars niet meer vertellen. Nothing Interesting, de debuut-EP van Library Card, bewijst het tegendeel van wat de titel doet vermoeden. Mede ook dankzij de geweldige drumpartijen en de poëtische parlando's van zangeres Lot van Tillingen. Uit die plaat van Library Card is dit For the World is Hollow.
I just had a final destination mode. Rickety poles, rickety lorry. Trouble, umbrella tree. There's plenty of signal. Is there enough time after a 9 to 5? Are they shouting at me or the person behind wheeling along? Reversing on an overcast morning, reverting to seasonal depression. I would take more vitamin D. Self-destruction. Pre-inspection anxiety. 2 minutes to spare. Where's that page when you need it? It's warmer in here than I'd like.
Gal day, uncomfortable sweat.
Let Ben know I saw him in the other pharmacy. Distant but familiar laughter. Breaking character. Weren't you concerned how low my blood pressure is? Not really. They can never play together. Nothing wrong with second attempts. It's my time lost. You've changed your tune. Estate agent representative was fit first. Well, I mean, he has no social skills. Bit of a lingerer.
Turn the lights off and hope he gets the message.
Kielzog van Black Country, No Road, komen er heel wat frisse, jonge Britse bands bovendrijven, zoals dit Dura Mater. Zij debuteerden met de Arable Ground EP en daaruit kwam dit Umbrella Tree. De tekst is één lange stream of consciousness gebaseerd op een wandeling in het thuisstad van de zanger. Fraulein volgde al een tijdje bij Signaal Ruis. Het is een Londens duo, maar de zangeres-gitariste komt uit Noord-Ierland en de drummer uit Nederland. Na alle singles en EP's die passeerden, kwam vorig jaar hun debuutplaat uit Sink or Swim. En ook daar blijft de invloed van PJ Harvey luid doorklinken. De vroege, rauwe en pure PJ Harvey, met name ten tijde van Rid of Me, in de living room van Fraulein.
Thank you.
Hesitate van het Rotterdamse Neighbors Burning Neighbors. Het stond in 2019 al in een embryonale versie op de B-kant van hun debuutsingle. Maar afgelopen jaar kwam het tot volle wasdom op hun debuut Burning Neighbors. Samen met Tramhouse en Library Card opnieuw een bewijs dat er geen enkele reden is om de muziekscene bij onze noorderburen te negeren. Er komt er ook heel wat kwaliteit vandaan. Een portie postpunk met ultra-catchy gitaarpartijen en furieuze drumpartijen mocht niet ontbreken in ons overzicht. De postpunk-scene in Cincinnati is booming met bands als The Serfs, Crime of Passing, The Drin en ook de volgende band, Corker. Met hun tweede langspeler, Hallways of Grey, bevestigen ze hun status. Vingertje in de lucht en headbangen maar dit Hallways of Grey van Corker.
was geen slecht jaar voor de Nederlandse muziek, maar de Belgische bands die moesten zeker niet onderdoen. Debuut van Meltheads was zo'n prima plaat, dat was Decent Sex, en daaruit kwam dit No One Is Innocent. Na Meltheads volgt nog een nieuw bewijs dat de Belgische muziekscene niet moet onderdoen voor de Nederlandse. Begin vorig jaar speelde trio Rehash het voorprogramma van de iconische band The Brassers in de AB. En ze bevielen afgelopen jaar ook van hun Action Reaction EP. Die kwam uit bij het Duitse Mangel Records. En daarop kun je ook dit snedige King of Weimar vinden van Rehash.